Hey y'all, welcome back to Shifting the Narrative. My name is Brittany. If you're new to the podcast, we are pretty much, I just talk about struggles with maybe not having a mother present or not having a good relationship with a mother. I created this for my own personal reasons and my own experience with that. And I just wanted to create kind of like in a support group, or maybe I can learn from you and you can learn from me, and just kind of be there for one another during the healing journey. But today, I just want to talk about something I think a lot of us struggle with, is validating our own pain and trauma, even when others have had it worse. I know I definitely struggle with this. I guess both aspects. It can be showing sympathy to someone that experienced something in their eyes and how they feel is very traumatic, but in mine, it's just like I've been through worse. So this is like a cakewalk. And then also, there's obviously, I acknowledge that people have had it worse than me. And I don't feel like I should be feeling, it was really hard for me to even acknowledge or share any of my childhood experiences, just because I know people has had it worse than me. But with that being said, that doesn't mean that your trauma is any less like valid than, you know, your pain is any less valid than theirs. I've heard it so many times, and I've even said it myself, that obviously I shouldn't feel this way because other people had it worse than me. Or maybe you've opened up to someone about something painful and they responded with, "That's not that bad. You should hear what I went through." And I think at the end of the day, we should just understand that trauma is not a competition and your pain is valid no matter what. So the problem with trauma comparison, is we kind of, you know, live in the world where people constantly compare experiences. Maybe it's our upbringing, maybe society. But there's this idea that only the worst of the worst experience count as real trauma. And that's kind of where, I kind of had my own issues with wanting to even, I guess, acknowledge anything that I went through, because yes, I had a roof over my head. Yes, at least at my mom's, I had a dinner made for me every night, and I had Christmas. But in the household, just because we got all the materialistic things in the household, there was a lot of a mental, emotional, and physical abuse. That still, all that stuff, I was okay to struggle without having a home, without having food, and find my own ways to survive than live in a household like that. There's different things and that you experience that can shape how you view how bad your trauma is, and if it's even real trauma to acknowledge, or if it's just part of life. But let me ask you something. If you break your arm and someone else breaks both their arms and legs, I mean, does that really mean your pain doesn't matter? I don't think it does, because you still need the same treatment. Maybe not the same treatment. You still need treatment. You know, you still hurt, and you still deserve healing, just because your one arm is broke compared to someone else's arms and legs being broken. And that's kind of the same with emotional wounds. Just because someone else's experience was different or even more extreme doesn't mean yours wasn't painful. And that's something I really had to acknowledge. And a lot of it had to do with embarrassment as well, because I valued my childhood experiences as not as extreme. So me going to even acknowledge it and get help was embarrassing, because I feel like I didn't have the worst childhood to be seeking help, because obviously there is a lot worse out there going on in the world, where people need it. extremely, and they need that support before me. So that was kind of my first struggle in the whole healing process. But why do we dismiss our own pain? You know, like I said, I grew up thinking that because people had it worse than me, I had no right to feel broken by my own experiences. But that mindset kept me stuck for years, and I wasn't healing because I wasn't even letting myself acknowledge what I went through. And maybe you can relate. Maybe you convince yourself that your childhood, your relationships, your struggles weren't bad enough to be considered trauma. But pain doesn't work that way, obviously. If it affected you deeply, if it shaped how you see yourself, how you trust others, how you move through the world, it matters for sure. And it shapes, you know, it, you become what you experience, especially if it's trauma. So, obviously trauma affects people differently. And that's another thing we kind of forget. Two people can go through the same situation and experience it completely in different ways. For example, this is a great example, is me and my sister obviously grew up in the same household. And even though I was a little bit older, she was younger, I kind of experienced more, or I guess I understood the abuse a little bit more, I guess. I mean, I know what's right from wrong, and I know when it comes to, like, what not to do. Like, it's kind of, you just learn that throughout life as you go on. So I knew what my mom was doing wasn't always complete accurate in the right way. But whereas my sister, she took things a little bit different because my mom would drill in our heads that we shouldn't be angry. We shouldn't be sad. We should be very grateful and thankful for what we have, because we do have a roof over our heads. We do have birthday parties. We do have Christmas. We have food in the house. And we shouldn't feel any other emotion but happy and gratitude. Which I understand. Like, in a way, she's right, because people do have it worse, as she would say and point out. But at the same time, I became very, because she drilled that into our heads, and just because of all the events that happened in the household, I became very rebellious and against her, and I became very angry. My anger obviously controlled me. I eventually started blacking out. If I reached a point of anger, I would black out on people, and I just couldn't control it. Like, no matter how hard I tried to, it's such a weird feeling, because it's like my body starts doing something and I'm not even realizing I'm doing it until it's like my mind finally switched back on, and I realized, like, oh crap, I just went a little too far, in because I became a very violent kid. Whereas my sister, because my mom drilled that into ours head, she became very thankful for everything. Like, she might say mom constantly beat her down mentally and just told her she's worthless, this, that, just pretty much just, she treated dirt better on her shoes than Brianna. Okay. Brianna, yeah, she's hurt by those words. She takes those words and she understands, like, oh, maybe this is, maybe I am worthless. Maybe I am, you know, just nothing. But I have to be grateful because there is someone that has it worse than me, as well. So I'm just going to be extra positive, extra happy, like, obviously she forced herself to be happy. She just became this very overly positive person and very just grateful for life. And I mean, that's completely fine, but, and she still felt worthless inside and stuff. So she wasn't even acknowledging the fact that, she was just being grateful and not acknowledging her own pain and suffering, which obviously, if you don't and you're overly positive, it can eventually lead to something bad and you just get very cloudy minded. And that happens just with the way I did too. Like, I went more rebellious and angry, and I stood up for myself and I fought back. But my mind still became very dark and cloudy as well. So, at the end of the day, I think how we respond could be different, but our minds still kind of get in that black hole eventually, through whatever situation we experienced as a kid. So that's like one for sure example, far as my home life. Me and my sister just responded in such complete different ways. And granted, she was a little younger. I mean, she was 5 years younger than me. So she obviously remembers things happening. But her whole experience was just completely different than mine. Even though we still had the mental and physical abuse. Maybe not so evenly, but then again, I was the one that fought back. I didn't cower down. Not that my sister cowered down. She was younger than me, but I didn't cower down and I fought back. I didn't care if, my stepdad, my mom's, I don't consider him my stepdad, even though probably technically he was, but my mom's boyfriend, I didn't care how big he was. I was going to fight him. I was going to hit him, and I expected to get hit back, obviously, because, I mean, that's just anyone's reactions, but they expected that they could do whatever they want to us, and we wouldn't fight back, and that wasn't my take on it. I wasn't going to just be pushed around like this, because I know what's right from wrong at 13, 14 years old, so... if someone hits me, I'm going to definitely hit them back. I don't care if you're a grown man, old lady, you know, or my mom. So that was my view on everything. And I just became a very angry person too. But at the end of the day, it's not about what happened. It's about how it impacted you. And some people grow up in extreme poverty and it fuels them to succeed. And then others grow up in similar circumstances and struggle with deep emotional wounds. But both reactions are very valid. And the reactions that me and my sister did, I mean, I think they're very valid reactions, considering our circumstances, and our environment that we grew up in. It's just, we obviously took it in, you know, everyone's different. Everyone thinks differently. Everyone takes in. It's just like reading a text message, for instance. This had to do with my son's daycare. When she sent us a message, my husband took it as she was being bitchy. And I took it as, no, she's just very informative. She's just letting us know. And it's just the same with your trauma. You just take, you just can take it differently than other people. But why it could be worse is harmful. 'Cause I know people will, I know people mean well when they say at least you weren't homeless, or at least you had food on the table, or it wasn't that bad. But for instance, my mom would say, you know, we had food. We had Christmas, things like that. But statements like that do more harm than good, for sure. But my mom was also the one causing the pain in the environment. So she wasn't even acknowledging nothing that was going on in the house. And then she would obviously, as I learned through therapy, and as I learned more about her, she constantly tries to convince herself she's a good person, and not that she's not a good person, because she'll give her last penny to someone homeless, but that doesn't mean that you don't have toxic traits and you still mentally beat down people, and you can become physical to people. that doesn't like just so it's like she's so she does all this mental abuse, physical abuse, and then she constantly gives everything to make her feel like she's a better person or a good person, because that's what she'll always say is, I'm a good person. I give everything off my back to someone. But you could do that, but you should be, if you're going to do any kind of charity work or help people, it shouldn't be because you're trying to convince yourself to be a good person, or you shouldn't even show it off. You shouldn't even tell anyone. You should just do it out of the kindness of your heart and just know deep down what you did and believe that you're a good person. I mean, that's something I would do a lot was charity. I did things throughout the years, but no one knows about it. No one knows what I've done. No one knows, no one knows nothing that I've done. And my mom, and I really want to throw it in my mom's face, because she would call me selfish and just ungrateful. And she would just constantly just beat me down and just say I'm just this horrible person because I don't give. But the thing is, she doesn't even know I don't give because I don't tell her. I'm not trying to display it on a podium or a totem pole. I'm trying to, I do it just because I feel really bad, and it's just, I just want to help. And that's just my own personal experience. It's not for anyone else to know or, understand why I'm doing the way I'm doing. But she, on the other hand, will display how she bought us brand new clothes for school and stuff. And it's just like, at the end of the day, I would be completely okay with not having any of that. I'll be okay. I mean, granted, we didn't have like a huge house or anything. We lived in, a trailer, and that's perfectly fine. You don't have to try to get a bigger house for me. Looking back, I don't think, obviously materialistic things fade. And it's more of the love and the family, atmosphere of being there for one another is what really truly matters. Growing up in a house, yeah, obviously kids, a kid's a kid. They go to school and they might see someone with brand new shoes. And they want those type of shoes, but those shoes are way more expensive than what your parents could afford. And obviously kids get very just like ungrateful. But it's not there. I mean, it's just how it happens. It's just life. It happens that way. But if you can still show them the love and just do what you can, they'll eventually understand and be grateful. I think it's just a natural kid's reactions to things, especially if the kid becomes very materialistic person. Whereas I was a materialistic person, I could care less if I had name brand clothes. I thrift shopped for my clothes. Especially when I was 16, I made a little bit of my own money. I went to thrift stores like the Salvation Army to get some clothes. Like, I was perfectly fine with that because those are just as cute as clothes as going down to, Maurice's or whatever. So, and no one even knew. And so I wasn't a materialistic person. So that, honestly, her having constantly putting that in my head, how much stuff she buys, made me not care even more, because it's like, if you're going to throw it in my face that you do this for me, don't even do it for me. Because I don't want to, that I don't like that either. Do it because you want to do it, not to throw it into my face, as well. But telling someone they shouldn't feel hurt because it could have been worse is like telling someone not to be happy because it could have been better. It doesn't, obviously that doesn't make sense. So instead of comparison, what we all really need is understanding and validation, I think. And there's obviously different ways to practice self-compassion and heal through this. Here are a few things that can kind of, start the process on how do we stop dismissing our own pain and start allowing ourselves to heal. Obviously, first is to recognize that your feelings are real. If something hurt you, it hurt you. Like, just point blank, you're hurt. You can't, and that's something I realized too. I like if something happened to me in the household and it hurt my feelings and it made me sad or it made me angry and it just made me feel just a different type of rage or sadness inside, and my mom told me you shouldn't feel this way. Like she cannot tell you what it made me feel like because she's not me. I know it hurt me. I know how I feel. So why are you telling me I shouldn't feel this way or that I'm not feeling that way? It's a lie. Pretty much she's saying my feelings are lying to me. And don't get me wrong, as obviously you experience trauma and life goes on, your feelings become I mean, they do lie to you in certain situations, but not when you're in the, you're a child and you might feel sad. A parent shouldn't tell you you shouldn't feel sad. Like they don't know. They that's I mean, everyone's, like I said, everyone's completely different. So definitely understand that if you are hurt, you are hurt. No one else can take that away from you and say you're not hurt. And then give yourself permission to heal. Just because you weren't the worst off doesn't mean you don't deserve support, therapy, or time to process. And that is something I had to really comprehend. Even like being diagnosed with the complex PTSD, I still to this day kind of just like brush it off. And I don't like tell people that. Like if I'm talking to someone about trauma or anything, I don't, or my therapy experience, I don't even say I have that. Because it's not that, I mean, I guess you can say I'm kind of in denial, but I think it goes back to this whole validating your pain, because I just look at PTSD as something very traumatic in someone's life. So I just look at it in a complete different way, but that doesn't mean I don't have it. Like I should just really acknowledge it and just take it in and just understand. But and it's not even that embarrassing. I just feel like I don't meet those standards of having PTSD, I guess. So that's just something, obviously you have to understand that you deserve the same support and therapy as someone else as well. And then also I think this is a very important one. Is stop comparing pain. Instead of thinking I shouldn't feel this way, maybe try saying I went through something difficult and it's okay for me to feel hurt by it. And then so I compared, okay, I guess so when I was younger in my early 20s too, I did compare pain. I would never obviously get help because I just didn't think I went through the worst. But this is also when I started my healing process and understood what I went through is valid. And obviously, I have trauma. The person I am today is all trauma response, pretty much. So I'm not even really who I really am. I'm just responding to all these events that happened throughout my childhood. But that led to something, I mean, bigger, a bigger problem for me is not that I was never good at showing sympathy in the first place. Like I never, I like especially at, 'cause I cried almost every day of my life when I was in high school and middle school. I cried almost every day. And then after I got out of high school, I didn't finish high school. After I decided to become very rebellious, I decided I will not cry. Like, I just won't cry. Like, nothing's gonna make me cry. It's like I couldn't cry anymore. And then obviously, eventually, like, when I started, like, my mental state started getting worse and worse and worse, like, going completely downhill into a black hole that is a never-ending black hole. I started crying again, but no one ever knew I cried. I would cry in the shower. So I would never show anyone that I was ever sad or anything. It always was anger. But this led to also not able to show sympathy for someone that actually, you know, went through a traumatic experience as well. So if people told me, you know, if someone died in their family, like, it was very hard to, like, show sympathy to them because so many people has died or I didn't really have family. So I'm just like, you know, you should be thankful for the experience you had with them kind of deal. And obviously that's not the way to approach it. I never said anything like that to anyone. I honestly was just quiet and I just let them cry or do what they need to do. And I didn't say nothing because I felt so awkward too. But this made me not be able to really show sympathy for someone that, to me, wasn't really a traumatic experience, but for them, it was a very traumatic experience. So the past year or two, I've really had to kind of look back, especially being around my husband's family, and their whole lifestyle was completely, maybe not, like their, my husband and their siblings growing up lifestyle was completely different than mine. So the things they get sad about or the things they've experienced, I sympathize and I feel so bad, but I can't show it. I just have such a hard time showing it. And, this is something I'm learning is, cause this is another step is offer validation to others. So like if someone shares something painful with you, try responding with, "That sounds really hard. I'm sorry you went through that." No minimizing, no comparing, just empathy. And this is the one I struggle with the most because, first, I'm not really an affectionate or person. And I don't show, and I think a part of it is if you show sympathy or sadness, I feel like it's a weakness too. And you become vulnerable, and I don't show those traits. Very rarely do I. I think I probably cried to my husband after we've been together for 5 years, going on 6 years. He probably seen me cry 4 times in our home, so almost once a year, or pretty much once a year. He's never seen me. Yeah, I mean, I very rarely cry in front of him or even show emotion far as sadness. But this goes back to an experience I really had to look back on and kind of become more of an open-minded person on this because, for instance, my sister-in-law, and I think a lot of it was what came back was a lot of my trauma, and I think that heightened and made me just more I want to say mean, to be honest with you, because I felt like I was just a very mean person, even though it's not really being me being mean, it was just me being actually so sad that I never had people to, you know, be around me when I needed sympathy or needed someone. So seeing how Derek's family, my husband's family, comes together in a traumatic experience was just very eye-opener to me. And it just made me, I showed anger deep down sad because my response for any vulnerability, sadness, things like that is anger. So I just get very angry and it just and I just get very distanced from people and I just can't, I have to be alone and make, I just want to be alone. I just have to be alone. I just isolate myself because I feel like I want to blow up. But so she had a dramatic experience for her. Now in my eyes, and I even made comments to my mother-in-law, which I probably shouldn't. I kind of made comments like, "I've been through this before. It happens. It's a very natural thing." And I just told her I have a hard time sympathizing with it. And I think she understands just because she knows I'm just a very tough person. Like I have a hard shell. So I think she understands me very well. So maybe she didn't take it too bad. Obviously I would never say this to Derek's sister because I'm not going to make her traumatic experience or tell her she shouldn't feel the way she feels. Cause I'm not that person. I'm not going to downgrade what you think is, you know, a traumatic experience. I just don't think it, you know, I just look on the outside and like, oh, been through that, done that. It's like, you'll get through it. Like you shouldn't spend weeks dwelling on it. But in reality, you know, she's never experienced anything. She might not had anything, this traumatic in her life. So it probably was a very traumatic experience for her. And it probably was hard for her. And I didn't show her sympathy, the way I probably should have, but I felt so bad inside for her experiencing it. And I was sad for her, but it's so hard for me to just show that sympathy and share the sadness with her. Whereas something triggered me when her family and everyone was just so comforting. And it's like, you're missing out on that. So it became a very, it just became very difficult for me during that, but I'm trying to, show sympathy for people that obviously experience things that maybe in my eyes aren't traumatic, but, their experiences and how their life has shaped them. And, you know, it could be very dramatic. Just like me and my sister all ventured, we broke the cycle of how my mom's relationships were because she always picks the same type of guys. She never breaks her toxic cycle. So me and my sister did. We married people where their families and their lifestyle is 100% like just completely different than ours, which does cause some, you know, it makes us feel like we're out of our comfort zone. It does make us, at times, it is hard to be around their family at times because you might feel out of place. And obviously the more as years go on, it obviously gets easier because it becomes more familiar. You know, you become more familiar with, oh, this is how a family really should be and things like that. You just think it's just things you never experienced. So things might seem weird or how the family acts might seem very bizarre, but in reality, that's how a family should be. Which it's not our fault. We didn't know that. Like we're just, It's just a new experience and a new lifestyle that we're not used to. But obviously, as years go on, you get comfortable. You become a little bit more comfortable and you get used to it. And you start acknowledging like, oh, maybe we were the screwed up ones and they're the normal ones. For instance, my sister asked her husband, what is the most traumatic experience you ever had? And his answer was his uncle passed away. And obviously in her eyes, she's just like, what? Like she, you know, she's like, are you serious? Like your uncle passing away is the most traumatic experience. And obviously like, I mean, like she's obviously, I mean, you're being judgmental for sure, but it's hard to, she's obviously comparing, trauma, but she got thinking about it as well. And she realized that, you know, he's never experienced the trauma we did. So that's the first experience he ever had with trauma. So it makes sense for it to be a horrible experience for him. So it's just, you know, it's just how you can't really, again, compare because if they, you know, say, and like you can't even compare if someone has it worse than me. I could never, you know, they could easily tell me like, at least you didn't have this growing up, or you know, things like that. And I mean, it's just a cycle. You can always tell someone else that at least it was better, or at least you had it worse, or at least you didn't have it worse. And I think comparing the pain and comparing, even if it's just, like I said, if it's the same trauma, people experience it different as well. So I think those, I think it's really important to just not be judgmental, because at the end of the day, you can't tell someone how they are feeling and how to respond to maybe the same trauma or different trauma, worse trauma, or bet, you know, not really better trauma, but like it might be not so, not such a bad trauma experience in your eyes because you've been through worse. But you can't tell them how they should feel during that experience, because it all matters. It's pain, and it shapes the person they are. So I think it's just very important just to be there no matter what, and just try to show sympathy and that's a great response I'm just going to learn to have, because I have a hard time showing sympathy. So if someone comes up to me and is having a hard time, I just feel like, I'm really sorry you're going through this, or, you know, you went through that, and that will be the end of it, because that's like the most sympathy I know how to show, because I'll have a hard time. I don't know what to do. I become such like out of my comfort zone. And I think just sitting next to someone and maybe hugging them, or just even sitting next to them in silence so they're not alone, is just great anyway as well. So, I mean, I think they'll be just as appreciated if you needed, you know, to be there for someone. But with all that being said, if you take anything from today's episode, please just let it be this, that your trauma is valid, your pain is real, and you don't have to justify it or compare it to anyone else's. Because your trauma matters just as much, you know, what you, as the next person's, and you deserve, if you need to go to therapy, if you need support group, you deserve it just as much as someone else. So, you know, obviously healing starts when we stop minimizing our experiences and start giving us ourselves the same compassion, we would give a friend. But I'd love to hear anyone's thoughts on this. Have you ever, you know, struggled with comparing your pain? I would love to keep this conversation going if anyone is interested. You can reach out to me on social media. Don't forget to subscribe and leave a review for this episode. And my Instagram is Shifting the Narrative Without an E. And if you would love to just add again, please message me on Instagram, or if you would love to share your thoughts and be on an episode, I would love that as well, because I'm just trying to create a community for everyone to maybe just share their own struggles and their own challenges and things they've overcome and their techniques and things they learned along the way. Because, you know, not everyone can go to therapy to get maybe the professional help they need, far as maybe because of financial reasons or don't have health insurance and things like that. And I just think it's really important if everyone just comes together and shares their own traumatic experiences and maybe just pretty much learn from one another. Because, I mean, honestly, every little thing, every little advice, or just even, you know, maybe what helped you could help someone else, or even help me. So I think it's just very important for everyone to just come together and not be judgmental. But until next time, take care and be kind to yourself.